been looking at a series we're calling God's Goodness, and we're looking through Psalms 23. And let me just read the first three verses to you and just go back and kind of refresh your memory. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We learn that God is really good to us, better than we deserve, right? God is always demonstrating his goodness. Even when we don't see him working, we can trust that God will take care of us. The verse actually can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, because my God is my supplier. He supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. As I begin to trust him and realize I have a good God, then we realize that he's so good in verse 2 that it says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures beside still waters. And I think of this, and it just reminds me, when you realize that God is good to you, you can relax. God's got it. I'm stressing, I'm worrying, but I know that God is good to me. And in the end, he will take care of me. I can trust him. I can trust him with it. He's the I am not. Now we get into verse 3. We look at the first phrase of verse 3 last week. He restoreth my soul. It isn't, I don't think, until you realize that God is good and you long for God that it opens up your soul to be restored. Because then you trust him. And you go, God, man, my soul needs to be refreshed. My soul needs you. And Lord, there's been a lot I've been going through, but Lord, I need to surrender myself to you again. Lord, I need to put my hands in you. Lord, restore my soul. So last week we cried out and said, God, restore our soul. Lord, let it hunger and thirst for you. Let it desire you like the deer that panteth for the water brook, right? Let my soul be restored as it hungers and thirsts for the living God. I think of Elijah. And remember when we did Elijah and we looked at the story of Elijah, there was this point where Elijah had been on the mountaintop, so to speak, with his walk with God. Man, he had the fire from heaven came down. It burned up the altar. The false prophets were killed. And then he's following God, but he finds out Jezebel's after him and wants him dead, and it just messes with him. And then he has this letdown. It's really an emotional breakdown. And it goes so far that he just is ready to die. Like, he doesn't care whether he lives or dies. His soul has hit rock bottom. And what does God do? Does God come to Elijah and say, Elijah, get up, get yourself together, and go confront Jezebel, for I am with you. No. God takes time with Elijah, comforts Elijah, begins to restore his soul, lets him see his presence pass before him, then feeds him with the ravens and the water brook where he drinks the cool water. And all along, God is restoring him. And after God restores his soul, then he tells Elijah, Elijah, here's where I want you to go. But God, out of his goodness, took time to restore Elijah's soul before he sent him on a path. So as we follow God, it comes by learning to trust God. God, you really are good. God, you really are a God that I desire to make number one in my life. I really want to surrender my life to you. And as you surrender your life to God, you begin to realize that God begins to restore your soul. And inside your soul, you begin to change. And who you are begins to change. And you're no longer the person you were because your soul inside is changing. Because inside of you you have a body, you have a soul and a spirit. And the soul and the spirit are so close together that you really can't tell them apart. Because the Bible says only the Word of God can separate them. The soul is the inside of you. What makes you think who you are as a person? It's a part of you that will live forever in eternity. Either with God or without God. Your soul goes on. As your soul is being restored, and once it's in the right place, God says, I've got a purpose and a mission for you. I'm going to begin to lead you in a direction. Well, this morning we want to talk about God's leading. Because we're going to look at the last part of verse 3. It says, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, sheep get lost really easily. They're prone to wander. If a sheep sees a spot or a trail over to the side that has some wild berries on a bush, a sheep's going to go that direction. It's just going to be wander off, go on its own. If it sees something that looks good to eat, it will tempt him, and he'll get off the path. And he'll need the shepherd to get him back on path. But aren't we like that too? Aren't we prone to wander? Aren't we prone to, man, we're strong for God, and then all of a sudden we kind of get off the path. Something occupies our attention. Something looks good over here, and we kind of go our own way. Yeah, we're too are prone to wander on our own trails. We think we got it. We're okay. We're good until we're not. I mean, life is full of choices and options. And it's easy to get on the wrong path. I imagine if I gave the mic and said, let's pass it around the room and share with us a decision that you could wish you could change in your life. I mean, everybody would have a story about something that they said, man, I wish I would have stopped, prayed about it, asked God about it, and followed His direction. Because it got me into big trouble. I wish I could have changed. Well, let's talk about being led by God. Being led down the path of righteousness for His name's sake. When I was younger, when I was in my early 20s, I could literally drive from Virginia Beach all the way down to Lakeland, Florida, 16-hour trip, stop one time because I needed gas, and run to the bathroom and hop back in the car and keep on driving. Make that trip in about 15 and a half hours. Today, it would be a different story. Today, that may be a 3-day adventure. Because I guarantee you, just driving 7.5 hours in Florida, it takes me almost 9. Because I got to stop about every hour to every hour and a half. I can tell you where every gas station is has the best bathrooms on the way down. I can tell you where you can get off and on the interstate fast and quickly, but I can tell you where they got good gas. I can tell you where the best places are to eat. I even know where a little Italian restaurant is. It's in Kingsland, Georgia. It's connected to a gas station, and they got this dish called a crazy Italian spaghetti. Oh, my word, it's to die for. They throw the whole kitchen sink in that spaghetti. They got pepperoni, they got pork, they got hamburger, they got, everything. I can't even think of all the things they've got. They got all these vegetable kind of things, mushrooms and all this stuff. I mean, they've got everything. I mean, it is so, the sauce is like, oh gosh, it's good. And they give you a whole loaf of bread, garlic bread to eat with it. and a big salad. All for about $10. Man, it's great. Olive Garden can't come close. Because now it takes me forever. Because it's stop, go, stop, go, stop, go. Or stop, start, stop, start. And now, you know, I use my little phone with its little GPS on it, you know. And I connect it to the car. But, you know, I notice if you take the phone in and you take it with you to the gas station or rest area, wherever you may go, it's going to keep talking to you. So you got, you know, you really look like an old man when you go in there and the phone's talking to you, you know. So I've learned now you got to turn that thing off and then turn it back on when you get back in the car, right? Otherwise, you kind of look kind of like you're really old guy lost. And every time you got to stop it and start it, stop it and start it, stop it and start it. In our journey, there's some stops and starts. There's some things that you got to stop doing and some things you got to start doing if you want to follow God's leading. Let me give you a few of these this morning. It won't take long. Number one, we got to stop following the culture that does not follow God. It's hard to see what God wants you to do when you're caught up in today's culture. The truth is, we probably have more of today's culture in us than we realize. Because it's constantly being pumped into us 24/7. Every device we have, every television we have, every thought we hear is probably something from the world coming inside of us. It is so easy to get caught in the stream of this culture, but we have to not allow ourselves to follow this culture, for it's wrong. The problem is you can't think like the world and think like God. You just can't. They're just two opposites. The world is so deceptive. The truth is we all have more of today's truth than we realize. The truth is what God says about a subject, right? And God, whatever God says about a subject is truth. And that's what we have to follow and not look to the world to follow its directions. Christian and I were watching a documentary that was produced by ESPN on Reggie White. I'm sorry, I'll get back over here. By Reggie White. And I don't know how many of you had heard of Reggie White, but he was a football player for the Eagles and then for the Packers. He played college in Tennessee, but he was called the Minister of Defense because he was an outspoken Christian. And he shared his faith everywhere he went. And he was also an ordained minister. He died at the young age of 43 because he didn't realize that he needed a CPAP machine. And in the middle of the night, he stopped breathing. But what was interesting, though, is they kept saying, well, Reggie's such a controversial figure. He's so controversial. And we can't, okay, why is he so controversial? I mean, I knew his story. I've read about him many times. I knew he was an outspoken Christian. I knew he was an ordained minister. And the reason why his story was so controversial, there were certain things that lined up to God's word that he believed that didn't fit into the culture of today. One was on homosexuality. And because he was outspoken about it, it seemed like every time they went to talk about him, they would say, well, he's very controversial. And they had different people say about, you know, how this and how that. And it's a thought of the world today. And so the thing is, it's easy to get in part of the life stream of this world inside of us. We can't follow the world's culture and follow God. You got to either make a decision. Am I going to follow God or am I not? And so if I want to follow in his past steps, if I want to follow after his righteousness, I've got to follow his steps. I can't be led by the world. Number two, stop following friends who aren't led by God. Peer pressure will cause us to make the wrong decision if we're not careful. I know, everybody thinks peer pressure is for kids and teenagers. Let me tell you, there's a lot of adult peer pressure out there today. And no one wants to offend anybody. And we all want to fit in. And it's easy to follow the wrong crowd. Now listen, that doesn't mean we need to pull away from the world and not have non-Christian friends. Because how in the world are we ever going to win the world to Jesus if I don't know anybody who's not a Christian? Right? Jesus wasn't afraid to hang around the ungodly. But he didn't follow them. He rose up and they followed him. And same for us. We've got to rise up and be a leader and not a follower. But we also need to be around those who know and believe the truth. But be careful who you follow. Be careful. Proverbs 13:20 says this, wise friends make you wise, but you hurt yourself by going around with fools. I used to have a hand-stitched in a picture frame that someone made me when I became an Eagle Scout, and it said this, you can't soar with eagles when you're running with turkeys. That's true. That's true. Number three, stop looking to others' sources besides God's. Let God be your primary source for direction. The best place to look is always to God and always to his word. There are a lot of places and sources to look at today. I mean, you can look at a lot of different things. But if you're looking to anyone or anything other than God, you need to get your eyes back on God. This is what Deuteronomy 18:10-12 says. Don't practice divination, sorcery, fortune telling, witchcraft, casting spells, holding seances, or channeling with the dead. People who do these things are an abomination to God. It is because of just such an abomination practice that God, your God, is driving these nations out before you. There's a lot of resources out there to look at that's not a good thing to look at. And people are being deceived. Look to God. Remember, 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And people are deceived. Number four. This is where it gets a little tougher. Stop looking at circumstances. This is a hard one. For we know that God orders the steps of a righteous man or woman. We know that God will open doors that no man can shut. So the tendency is when we see an open door, then that must be from God and we run through it. And the truth is, not every open door is a God open door. We need to pray and seek God and say, God, is this what you have for me? Don't have a lazy faith that says, oh, I see an open door. Let me run through it. This must be from God. Because sometimes it won't be. Remember in Acts chapter 27, Paul was a prisoner aboard a ship that was taking him to Rome. And when they got to an island, they were getting ready to get some food and get supplies for the ship, and then they were going to head out and continue their journey to Rome. They were there, and Paul was warned in a dream not to go at that time, to wait there a few more days. But when they woke up that morning, there was a northeast, or there was a wind that was blowing in the direction that they needed to go. And so when Paul told them about the dream, the Roman soldiers who were in charge, the centurion said, no. He said, this must be from the gods, for the doors are open, right? There's a wind blowing the direction we need to go. So let's go, because the circumstances were favorable. And once they got out into the ocean, there came a northeasterner, which is really a hurricane, and they were caught in this massive storm, and they almost all lost their lives if it wasn't for the grace and goodness of God. What they thought in their minds was an open door because everything looked favorable wasn't really an open door. Be careful with circumstances. Don't allow circumstances to be your only judge of what God wants me to do. Ask God. Let me give you another difficult one. Stop being led by your feelings. That's hard. Please keep in mind, every feeling, every emotion is temporary. Our feelings change rather quickly. Let me give you a great example. Have you ever been to a place like Disney World? You get there, you're excited, man, I can't wait to go, I can't wait to get on the rides and enjoy myself at Disney, right? Yeah, the kids are going to have a great time, oh, it's going to be a lot of fun, and you're excited, you get out, and you ride a little trail ride, woo, you get out, you start walking around, you start getting in line, and then by about lunchtime, it hits you. Because that is a small world after all, won't leave your head. And you're standing in line for some ride. And you run out of the quick passes, which are like $20 to get you ahead, right? So now you're standing in line because you're out of money. You're getting, money's getting low kind of now, you know. And you're like this line, like it's an hour and a half. It's an hour and a half from this point. Oh, no. And you're in the Florida heat. And the breakfast you had at the hotel, the big buffet, is starting not feel so good in your stomach. And you're waiting in line in the heat, and you're going, oh man, when will this day ever end? And the kids, you haven't tried to keep them quiet and ready in the line. No, stay back over here, yeah. Oh yeah, we're going to do that later, yeah. And you're right, yeah. Oh my. The feeling that you had when you began Disney and the feeling you have about halfway through Disney are two different feelings. Because feelings are temporary. They change. You can be excited one minute and then not so excited the next minute. Because feelings come and go. You can be excited after your team wins a big ball game. Go, wow, man, I love my team. I love them. Oh, man, they did so well. But let me tell you, they're going to lose one. It's coming. And when they lose, your feelings go, oh, man, that coach is the worst coach. We need a new coach. Oh, we need a new quarterback. We need new this or that. And your feelings change. One minute you love them to death. Right now I wish I pulled for any team other than the Cowboys. Man, what a losing team I've got. But in the beginning of every season, I go, oh, yeah, man, they're going to win it this year. I just know. Look how good they look at the beginning of the season. And then they burn each year and crash. And my emotions burn and crash with it. When they lost to Rodgers' team Green Bay in the playoffs, I literally just went right to bed afterwards. I was just so drained. Because you said, are you sick? I said, no, I just need to go to bed. I know me, you know. But you told me a few games before, oh, yeah, we're going to win. I'm so excited. Because emotions rise and fall. You can be so excited about something and say, oh, yeah, this is exactly what God wants me to do. I just know God is with me on this because I feel so good about it. And then you get into it and go, oh, no, what have I done? Seek God, not your feeling. Feelings can be deceptive. Feelings can change. So those are the things we need to stop doing. What do we need to start doing? What do you start doing? Number one, I think we need to start by wanting to be led by God. Start by being wanting to be led by God. Starts by asking God, saying, God, I want you to lead me. I want to follow your direction. I think it's getting down on our knees and praying. I think it's getting desperate with God. I think God leads desperate people. I like to call them spiritual desperados, who are just desperate for God. Say, God, I don't know. Man, everything looks so confusing. I don't know which way to go. I don't know where to turn. Do I keep this job? Do I not keep this job? What do I do for my kids? I don't know. God, I don't want to do what's wrong. I just want to live for you. God, will you show me? Will you direct my path? God, I'm hungry to be led by you. Because I've discovered when I lead myself, oh man, it's a mess. Man, I blow it. I mess it up. I just need you. For God, I know that, Lord, you're not going to bring harm into my life. You're going to lead me in a place that will be for my good. So God, would you just lead me? Would you direct me? Would you help me? And then I think it starts by being willing, number two, to say yes to whatever he says. So I think when I'm down there praying, I need to say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I surrender to you. Because this is what I hear and see a lot today. I have people come up and say, hey, chaplain, come over here, come over here. I'll go over there, boom, 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 get there. And then they will say, chaplain, I really feel like I want to do this. Will you pray that God will open the door for me? And that's the wrong way to approach God. Because you've already decided what you think is the right thing to do. I see a lot of people say, I'm going here, God, you got to open the door. You got to make the way. And I think it starts by saying, God, what do you want me to do? Otherwise, I'm asking God to bless my plans. And I don't think God operates that way. I think God operates when I follow his plans and the blessings come. So I think it's getting down on my knees and say, God, I'll do whatever. And let me just give you something free of charge this morning, because this wasn't part of the message. Until you do what he's already asked you to do, he's probably not going to give you something else to do. You hear me? Like, if God's already spoken to you and you know that God has said, I want you to do this, I want you to go in this direction, obey that. But you may say, well, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't look right. Do it. If you know that God is speaking to you, it's being confirmed by a word, it's being confirmed by others that are spiritual, and you just do it. Because God's not going to lead you until you follow through on what he's already asked you to do, right? It starts by having a desire for God's word. Psalms 48 says, I desire to do your will, my God. This is David praying. Your law is within my heart. In John 17:7, Jesus says, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Let me just tell you what that verse is saying. It says, if you choose to do the will of God, Jesus is saying, you will find the truth. If you choose to do the will of God, you will find the truth. Number three, start looking to God's word. I know it sounds crazy, but the most of the directions that we need in life are found in the Bible. I know that book has been written like 4,000 or 2,000 years ago. But man, that book's got a lot of wisdom in it. It's got a lot of direction in it. If you will take your Bible and begin to read it and apply it to your life, you'll find that you will know what God's will is quicker than any other way. There's just so much truth from His Word. I like Psalms 19:105. Your Word is a light for my feet, a light for my path. Psalms 19:11-12 says, there's more. God's Word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. Otherwise, we'll find our way. Otherwise, how will we find our way? Or know when we play the fool. Man, I play the fool too many times, doing it my way. I don't want to play the fool anymore. I want to follow God. Number four, start letting the Holy Spirit be your guide. I know I'm sounding like Captain Obvious today, but sometimes you need Captain Obvious to see the big picture. There's one thing that will keep you from knowing God's will is if you haven't asked Him. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you have not asked. Can I remind you, God knows every detail of your life. We read Wednesday night that we have such a good Father, He knows the number of hairs on our head. Do you know the number of hairs on your head? Wallace, do you know how many hairs you got on your head? No. You got how many hairs you got on that beard? No. Nobody does. Even John back there doesn't know how many hairs he's got on his head. The only one that might be, yeah. Yeah, Dwayne back there. Right? No one knows. If you just have a little bit, you don't know. God knows when one little piece of hair falls from your head. He knows you that well. If He knows you that well, don't you think He knows the direction you need to go? Therefore, you need to ask Him. And here's the thing. When you start asking Him to help you and start letting the Holy Spirit be your guide, He will direct your path. It says this, if we live in the Spirit, in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? To walk means you're following the Holy Spirit. You're following His direction. You're walking with purpose. You're walking in a direction. You're going somewhere with your life. Your spiritual journey is making progress because you're following the Holy Spirit's leading. The early Christians, what did they do? They listened to the Holy Spirit. They followed His direction. They wanted clarity. They wanted purpose. When you read through the book of Acts, you don't see a group of people that are just walking around confused and not knowing where to go. They knew because they waited for His voice. For example, like Peter. Peter's a great example of this. In Acts 10:19, it says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, and he followed His voice, right? Another place it says, we read, the Spirit told me, Peter said, to go with them, doubting nothing. The Holy Spirit gave Peter direction. He knew that he was supposed to go with the men who knocked at the door. Why did he know he needed to go with them? Because the Spirit had told him, said, follow these men when they knock at your door. He was listening to the voice of the Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus says over and over again in the New Testament, and then in the book of Revelation says it over and over again, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. That means every believer has a spiritual ear. You've got a spiritual ear, just like you've got two physical ears. Why do you have two ears? So you can hear more than you speak. Why do you have a spiritual ear? So you can hear the voice of the Spirit. You listen and say, God, speak to me. I need to hear your voice. Guide me. There are benefits. He will give us direction. He will give us warnings. He will order. He will tell us what we need. In John 16:13, it says, whenever He, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Jesus is just not talking about prophecy and the future events. He's talking about very practical things. Listen, when you walk with the Spirit, there are going to be times that you're going to walk into dangerous places. And you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul, experienced a time where he was being harassed. He was being harassed by a person who had a demon inside of them. And Paul said this in Acts 13, 9 through 11. He said, then Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, confronted the evil spirit, brought down all the powers of darkness. In other words, the Holy Spirit led him to a place that was very dangerous, it was very demonic, but he confronted the demonic world and said, in the name of Jesus, you must flee. He wasn't afraid to go into dangerous places because he knew he had the power of the Spirit inside of him, leading and guiding him. When you have the power of the Spirit leading and guiding you, you can walk into dangerous places and say, God, you are with me. For you are greater than he that's in this world. You're greater than my enemy. And I can say in the name of Jesus, you must flee. I can break the atmosphere in the area because of God being in me and leading me and guiding me. The highest form of walking with God is letting him teach you the deep things of God. Because as you allow the Holy Spirit, and you can listen to that voice, he will teach you and show you more things about God than you ever thought you could ever know. You would think that if you study God's word for a long time, you would know it all. But you don't. God keeps revealing something in a new way, in a different way. And you go, wow, that's pretty deep. I didn't get that before. I didn't see that before. But God opened that door in my life. Christian, if you will come. Number five, last one. Start waiting on God. We all want an immediate answer. Many times God gives us an immediate answer. But many times God makes us wait. It's okay. He still got you while you're waiting. But wait on him. You know this one from Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of eagles, right? They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wow. Waiting on God. Mounting up like wings of eagles. I don't know if anybody does this, but I know a few people that do this. They actually watch and put on their computer screen while they're working, because like they have like three computer screens, and they'll have a computer screen of an eagle's nest. There's one that's being videotaped in California, and there's one down in Florida. And they watch these nests all the time, and they can tell you everything about an eagle. And they're like really cool. So I saw one of the ladies who was watching the eagle's nest this week, and I said, oh, man, what are the eagles doing? Oh, there's a baby in the nest. And I, oh, that's so cool. We looked at the little baby, and then the daddy flew back in the nest and all that. But I was looking at this, and she said, you see the dark parts on the baby? I said, yeah. She says, that's the wings that are being developed on the baby. Right now, it doesn't have the right kind of wings, but it's growing these wings that are waterproof. And when it gets those wings, because I was asking her how long would it be in the nest, when it gets those wings fully developed, then the baby will be nudged out and it'll begin to learn to fly. You got to wait sometimes until the wings are developed. And when the wings are developed, then you can soar, you can fly. And sometimes you have to wait on the Lord, and that's not a bad thing. Matthew 7, 7, 8 says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks, he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. So waiting on God. I want to take a moment before we go to wait on God. Oh my, I preached 5 minutes late today. Are y'all okay? I promise the restaurants will still be open. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Come back next week. I promise I'll try not to do it next week. But can we take 5 more minutes? I think God is worth 5 minutes. One word from God in this next 5 minutes is worth all the words I spoke to you just now. If you hear from God, it's worth it. And I want to challenge you to hear from God. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to make an altar right where you're at. You can either, if you want to, just bow at your chair, or you can just bend over. But somehow, shut the world out. Shut everything around you out and focus on God for a moment. And those of you that are watching, make a place at your kitchen table or on your couch. And just make a place and focus on God for a minute. And I want you to focus on this one verse. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Think about that for a moment. Think about he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me. Think about that for a moment. God leading you. Do you realize that God wants to lead you? Why don't you take a moment while your head is bowed and say, God, thank you for leading me. Thank you, Lord, for wanting to lead me. God, I know at times, man, I've been hard to lead. At times I've been prone to wander. Forgive me. God, today I want you to lead me.